believe that, don't you? If you look where you were and where you are now, he's always done it, hasn't he? He's always made a way. There's always hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. And I'm thankful for that. It is so good to have Mr. Sams, the Sams here tonight. Brother, Mr. Sams, we met years ago. He is from Greenbrier County, West Virginia. Can somebody give me a witness? Man, y'all have met more West Virginians than y'all can shake a stick at around here. And what a joy to have them here tonight. And he's seen me putting the trash out Saturday. Usually Clay does that, but Clay was on many vacations. So he said, since I seen you put the trash out, I thought I'd come by church. Hey, you never know what you get by serving God. Amen. Someone might say, well, putting the trash out ain't a big job. Well, it must have been to Mr. Sams. Amen. We're glad they're here tonight. And so we've just had West Virginians everywhere. Now, Brother Derek, he doesn't understand. You get in trouble down here talking about orange and talking about red and crimson. And he talked about being a volunteer this morning. And I'm going to just go ahead and keep on talking about that tonight. One of our thoughts in our message tonight is we all need to be better volunteers. Amen? But let me say, before we start here tonight, I started a few thoughts. I have seven thoughts, to be quite honest. I got through five of them last Sunday night. We're going to stop at seven. Seven is the number perfection. And when you think about biblical numbers, it's the number perfection. But let me just say, if you're visiting, this is your first time here, if you haven't been here long, now listen, there are such things called pastoral messages. And we are finishing up our church improvement month, and so tonight we're going to kind of put a capstone on all of it, and I'm just being very practical tonight, talking about things that we're going to get right down there where we live. Very simple, practical things, but I think if we will all allow the Lord to help us and speak to our hearts, and don't just listen, but actually put in our life what God wants us to do. It doesn't do us a bit of good to come here, and by the way, I've done it before, to come and listen and say, well, that's a good sermon. It's not a good sermon unless something changes in our lives till we do something with it. So you have to believe it, number one. You have to understand. But the Spirit of God's got to speak to your heart tonight and understand the importance of these little things, these little principles. And so tonight, I'd like for you, if you would, to open the precious Word of God to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm thankful tonight we have the Word of God. I'm not up here giving my opinions tonight. I'm really not. Honestly, I will just share this with you. As a preacher, I wish it would be a lot easier for me to be able to give my opinions. Because sometimes my opinions aren't as strong as God's commands. But if we're Christians and we believe this book to be our book, God's word to us, then it really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he said. And here's the thing that I want everyone, sometimes we lose young people. Young people, and by the way, I think I can say this with authority because I've been where you've been. I get it. I understand all the things that you're questioning in your mind. And I'm not just talking this tonight about children. I'm talking about young adults. And I'm going to bring this up a little bit later in the message, but even the things that our young adults are being bombarded with and the heroes that have been, and the way we're teaching and training them, I'm going to be honest, they look at this archaic book like it's not, why does God give us all of these commands and all of these rules and all of these regulations? They're not rules and regulations. Here's the way I look at it. God created me. He created you. Now, I love my children. I love our children. I hope to God that we've never given them advice that would help them to take a lower road in life. I've tried, we've failed, but we've instructed them. Even when they haven't liked what we've said, our motive has always been because we love them and we know where certain roads lead. We know where certain decisions will take them. From experience, from the Word of God, from other people's lives. So when I speak to our children, when we talk to our children, now they might not have understood that as a child,
But it was motivated by love. Why? Because we had our children's best interest in mind. We wasn't just being mean. We wasn't just putting a bunch of rules and saying, well, you got to live this way because that's just the way you got to do it. No, God has given us a book of commands and desires and things that he's not only to please him, but I've learned that if we will follow the commands of the one that created us, our life is better for it. It's for our good. It's not for, God's not keeping something from us, asking us to live a certain way or to live a way. It's better for us. Less heartaches. Less heartbreaks. Less, by the way, sin brings death. Don't think you or I are going to be exempt from sin. Listen to me. It might take 20 years, but it will get you. It will get me. And by the way, it might not get you. It might get your children. Now listen, sin brings death. So anytime that I see sin in my life, anytime you see sin in your life, anytime I see sin in people that I love, and by the way, it's not always black, blatant sin. We need to wise up and realize sometimes that starts out when things aren't really wrong or right, but they're heading that way. Now, in a church, we have to be discerning and we have to understand. And so we talk about improving. How can we improve unless we deal with subjects to realize God wants us not only to improve, to allow his work to go forward, but here's the thing I want everybody to understand. Jeremiah, this book is not a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of don'ts and do's. I want you to know something, young man. If you will practice the principles of this book, you will be better for it. Why? Because God created you. He's not told you to do one thing in here that's going to hurt you. He's not commanded you to do one. Now, by the way, it might not be popular. Doesn't matter. At the end of your life, if you will live a life pleasing to God instead of pleasing to men, your life will be better because of it. We deal with teenagers all the time, young people all the time, and here's, it's always a bunch of rules. They always want to look at the Christian life like a bunch of rules and regulations. By the way, it's not rules and regulations. It's a relationship. Can I ask y'all a question? Does my wife have to put a rule on me and say, okay, now if you love me, stay faithful to me? Does she really have to tell me that? If I really love her and I have a relationship with her, and by the way, Jesus has only gave his best to us. He loves us and knows us. So if I really have, and by the way, if you don't keep your relationship with the Lord right, you can forget about having the right relationship with your wife or your husband, or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. By the way, it won't happen. Why? Because you're not keeping the greatest relationship right. If I can't maintain my relationship with someone I can't see, how in the world am I going to maintain a relationship with someone that I live with every day? So we keep our relationship with the Lord. We've always got to improve that. It's everything about a relationship, our love to the Lord. We want to be faithful. Why? It's not a rule to me. Is it a rule that my wife has to say, okay now, Mark, you married me, you love me, so you can't do this? No, I've lived past that. I love her, and if I find out, hey, she wants me to be faithful, if I really love her, I'm going to love her. Why? Because I love her. I'm going to be faithful to her because I love her, not because she told me to. Well, that Bible right there, that's got a bunch of rules. No, it's telling you how much God loves you, and out of that love and that relationship that you're developing with him, I would think we'd want to give more to him, not less. So that's always something that has to be improved. By the way, we live in a day where people don't even know how to have relationships with each other. Husband and wife can't even, I mean, most husband and wives today don't even know how to keep and maintain a relationship with one another. There's more fighting and arguing. They can't even talk. People can't even talk anymore. They get mad. Why? Because I'm going to tell you why. Because we think more of ourselves than we do the other one. We're going to trump them. We're going to show them. We're going to tell them I'm right and they're wrong. Where does that win? We come to a conclusion. We're both wrong. God's always right. Let's follow his pattern. We've got a lot of things to improve in. Our relationships with the Lord is the number one thing that we all have to improve here. That's what our Sunday school lesson was on this morning. But as a pastor here tonight, I'm talking to a group of people that I love. And I want you to know, Pastor Mark doesn't just put a bunch of do's and don'ts. They're not my do's and don'ts, by the way. They're God's do's and don'ts. I think we just need to follow along with what God says. And tonight is very clear to me, the first one that I want to bring out here in just a moment. And then we want to bring out another one. But I want to just recap quickly on what we talked about last week. I gave you five things that we're going to look in the Word of God. But I want you to notice the things that I talked to you. Just simple, practical things that will help improve our church. Pay attention to your calendars. Starting on January, we're going to have a big vision banquet in January of 2018. We're going to take out the old and we're going to bring in the new. We're going to make calendars for everybody with all of our information on it. We're going to put it on our sermon audio page. We're going to put this calendar of all of our events throughout the week, throughout the year, so people can kind of plan their year around the important events of our church. Number two, always be mindful of your schedules and sign-up sheets. There's always work to be done around here. Listen, the other one that I talked to you about was treat your responsibility that you have like people's lives depend upon it, because your responsibility, someone's life might, it does depend upon it. We're dealing with truth. We're dealing with the ministry of God. We're dealing with the truth and what God has given us. He says, you are the pillar and the ground of the truth. Hey, listen, we're not selling Amway here. And by the way, I'm not against Amway, but what we're doing is a lot more important than Amway. By the way, I appreciate everyone that's in the car business and they're selling Miatas and Mercedes-Benz and all those things. Praise God, I can't afford them, but that's all right. But listen to me. People get all excited about, hey, I'm going to sell that car. And then it's amazing. We're given truth that will change people's lives, and we can't get excited about it. Hey, I thank God we got some car salesmen in Chattanooga, but I'm glad there's a Tiftonia Baptist Church that's running buses and selling. We ain't selling truth. We're giving truth. By the way, I wish maybe one day I could drive, and I don't really need to, but you say, hey, Pastor, you got a Mercedes-Benz. Listen, I got something better than that. I got the gospel. We're in the business. Pastor, what do you do with your life? Well, I'm giving the gospel. We're giving life. Y'all with me? You part of Tiftonia Baptist Church tonight? You know what you're a part of? You're part of giving life. You're handing out life. You're telling life. You're telling truth. That's exciting. And so when we think about that, it's important that we understand our responsibility. If you take out the trash, do it with a smile. If you clean a bathroom, do it with a smile. Whatever it is, there's no little job in the work of God. Why? Because someone's life depends upon it. Hey, quickly, work really, really hard to keep our relationships right with one another. Got to work at it. We got to work at it. By the way, if you're going to have a good relationship, it's because you fought for it. You've maintained it. You haven't just let it go and say, it'll be all right. No, relationships don't stay all right. You have to keep peace. You have to make peace. You have to constantly be working. Years ago, someone said to me and Laura, said, oh, well, y'all just got a good relationship and everything. I don't guess y'all have to worry about that. No, look at me. We got to worry about it all. You say, why? Well, I do agree with what we have is special. So if it's special, we better maintain it and keep an eye on it, make sure it's right. And that's her decision or my decision to do that. Same in a church. Every one of us has to realize it's our responsibility to keep our relationship right with one another, because we're a team. You say, well, so-and-so hurt me. Get over it. Be a Christian. And forgive them. Well, they didn't say sorry. Do it anyway. Forgive them anyhow. That's Bible. Well, I tell you. No. We ain't got time for that. We're handing out truth. Listen, how in the world can we help somebody else get over something if we can't? Hey, man. Preach right there, preacher. Hey, we got to keep our relationship. Well, they didn't ask me to. Well, that's okay. It's all right. Maybe they's having a bad day. I'll give you three things real quick how we'll help every one of our relationships here. And I know this is a repetition, but repetition is the mother of all learning. Hey, we want to make sure we work hard at keeping, number one, give grace to each other, because there'll be a time you'll need it extended to you. Well, I tell you what, I wish we'd get really good at extending grace instead of absolutely drawing the cord and getting ready to hang people. Sometimes we get in that pharisaical attitude. Well, let me tell you what so-and-so did. You better be careful, because it might be you, and you would hope they would extend grace. It might be your child. And you'd want your child to have it grace extended to them, right? We got to extend grace to one another. Number two, quickly, be willing to take criticism than to be quick to criticize. Boy, everybody's ready to criticize, but how about we take criticism? Constructive criticism. If we're walking around wanting to improve, we're not going to be critical of everything. We're going to be ready for somebody to say something to us that we can improve in. It's an attitude. Brother Derek talked about this morning. It's just our attitude, the way we think about things. Hey, we've got to be willing to take criticism than to criticize. And then quickly, I said last week, be a Christian who wants victory, not sympathy. I would say to you tonight, sympathy, go ahead and be in the Molly Grub patch. Go ahead and stay depressed for 15 years if you want to. But here's the only problem I have with that. If you know Jesus, there's a better option. There's a better option. And by the way, there's a better way. Any other way is anti-Christ. Any other way is anti-Christ. He said, I came to give life and life for you to be depressed the rest of your life. Is that what he said? No, he said, I gave you life to what? To be more what? What kind of life? Is God a liar? Does a doctor know more than God? No. He says, I came to give you life and life more what? Be discouraged the rest of your life? No, there's a better way. If you didn't know Jesus, I'd say go ahead. Stay discouraged. Stay defeated. Go ahead and let people sympathize with you for the next 20 years. But because Jesus says, I come to give you life, I want to tell you what I want y'all to help me get. I want you to help me to get there. Don't get in the car with me and say, oh, I know, Pastor, it's bad, and I just know you have every right to feel this way. You have every right to be like this, and you have every right. I know. No, don't hang around me if you're going to do that. Here's what I need you to do. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory. He plunged me. Oh, I know, Pastor. I'm destined to just be discouraged the rest of my life. Antichrist. Antichrist. That is antichrist. It's not what the Bible teaches. That's man's philosophy. That is humanistic philosophy. God says, I came to give life and life more abundantly. Now listen. Something happens to me, y'all going to see me cry. You're going to see me sad. You're going to see me deal with things. I am going to get discouraged just like everybody else. But if I know Jesus, I'm not going to stay there. Why? I've got to make myself happy in the Lord. So if you want to be improving around here, if I want to improve you, if our church needs to improve, then we need to get to the victory and quit wanting sympathy. Doesn't help any of us for somebody to get in the car with us and drive us down the road and tell us how bad everything is. No, I want somebody in the car with me that's going to give me hope. I want to belong to a church that's going to help me have hope. I want to be a part of ministries that's not going to talk about everything that's bad. I want to be around people that's going to tell me, hey, Pastor, have I told you lately Jesus is still on the throne?
Oh, no, and I tell you, I'm just depressed about that too.
Don't hang around me. I don't need help getting discouraged. I need help getting encouraged, and we can all help each other get encouraged. Amen. Hey, listen, you want to improve around here? Look, listen, that's cool. Now, quickly, I got to hurry. I spent too long on introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 1. Now, as touching things, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge, notice this, puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifieth, that love. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now it's concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, little g, notice that, little g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be, little g, gods many and lords many. But to us, there is but one God, capital G, amen, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Here's what he's saying. If you eat that meat that was supposed to be given to an idol, here's what he says. He says, it's not right or wrong. It's not right or wrong. If you eat the meat, it's not wrong. If you don't eat the meat, it's not wrong. So in other words, he's saying, it's not right or wrong. Are y'all with me? Oh, my, help us. Verse 9, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak by emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? When ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother offend. I want to say, first of all, I want to explain this passage. If you ever been to a foreign country, most poor countries, they eat every part of an animal. The scraps of an animal in most third world countries, they've got that stuff hanging out in the heat on hooks at a meat shop. In Bible days, there were certain animals that were absolutely offered to idols, but some of those parts were not offered to idols. And so what they did is, because in those days and in those times, and you can still go to certain countries today, and the same thing is taking place. You will have scraps, you will have parts of a certain animal that was not good to be given to an idol, and that meat would be sold to people, and people would buy it because they had to feed their family. But because those meats were offered unto an idol, Paul very clearly said, now listen, we all know there is no idol, there is no God. That God of that idol is not a God to us. But there are some, he said. In verse number 4, he says, or verse number 5, for though there be that are called gods, he said, there are some that believe that those idols, they don't know what we know, and so they automatically think, hey, you're partaking in idol worship by eating that meat of that idol. Now, as a Christian, we know that's not true. Paul very clearly says, but look, he says it's not right or it's not wrong. He said, because we know there's only one God, and that meat, eating that meat, has nothing to do with being right or wrong. But here's what he said. And oh, he said, but make sure we watch our liberty. Hey, we're free to eat that meat. We're free to do things that aren't wrong. But let me tell you something, church. We need to prove in this church and quit trying to find things that ain't nothing wrong with them. And we need to do some things better because we're thinking of somebody else. And it might not be something wrong, but how about we just take the high road? Take the high road in life. Here's what I hear all the time. People say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with this. There ain't nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, but do you want your child to continue on that path? No? Well, you know what? It takes just as much work to just, it's just as easy to go the low road as to go the high road. You know what it is? It's just a choice. You know what Paul said? And God bless him for saying it, Brother Larry. Here's what he said. He said, look, if it's going to, hey, listen, it ain't wrong. It's not wrong. The eating that meat's not wrong. But he said, I'm going to tell you what. And boy, I love Paul for it, and I pray, I ask God to help me to be this way. He said, but let me tell y'all something. If it makes somebody offend, he said, here's what I'm going to do. I ain't going to eat no meat. I ain't going to eat that meat. Church, you see where we need to improve? Most Christians I know, here's what they'd say. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and do it. Come on now. Help me. We teach our children. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Go ahead and do it. Well, here's the problem. You're being selfish. I'm being selfish. Why? Because that's going to hurt somebody down the road. I am so sick of people not realizing God has given them influence. God has given them a life to live. And how about we choose to help these children, these young people, to do better? Just choose. Well, yeah, Pastor, it's not wrong. Okay, it might not be wrong, but is it best? Is it best? Is there a better way? All right, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I really like meat. Well, I'm sure Paul really liked meat too. But you know what he said? Thank God for Paul. He said, you know what? I'm going to look out. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to look out and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to make the decision. I ain't going to eat meat. Church, we need to improve there. Some parents need to improve there. You know, there are some people that they're okay with just setting the bar down right here and say, well, that's all right. They're not here. Well, don't you want more for them? I mean, you know, we don't have to be way down here to ruin our life. We could just be where God isn't pleased with, and your child, your children can still ruin their life and not have and do what God wants them to do. And I know this is unpopular today. Most people say, oh, preacher, you're just always up in the air over something. No, I'm talking about our country. We're in a mess. Well, look, I'm not going to get politicky tonight. I don't have to get politics. Before Donald Trump was ever in the White House, I want to tell you all something. I think it is a shame. It is a shame. And I've done quit watching the NFL. And I'm going to tell you why I quit watching the NFL. I quit watching it long before now. But I'm going to tell you all something right now. I think it is a shame that there is a coach in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that kept his team inside of a locker room today. And you say, well, Pastor, that's his choice. He's free to do that. But I'll tell you right now, he's free also to set the right example. Because you know what? There's millions of children watching those teams. There's millions of kids all around the world watching that coach and watching those players. Why couldn't that coach said, boys, I'm going to tell you right now, you have the right, you have the freedom not to go out there. But I'll tell you right now, I think because all these boys and all these Americans and all these people that's given their lives for what's right, we can make the choice to walk out there and stand and be respectful to our country that's made us millionaires. It was no more effort to do that than to stay in the locker room. But here's what's happened. They've chosen to take the low road. And most churches, most parents, this society, that's what we're feeding our kids. How about we say no? Don't eat the meat. Don't eat the meat. It's all right. Don't eat the meat. There's somebody watching you. You know, there's a little Lincoln here. He's watching us. Some of you young men, you think, I'm going to do what I want. No, you're not doing what you want. You're being selfish. You're letting these children see you. What kind of example are you setting for them? Take the high road. Do something with your life. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I just live to myself. You don't live to yourself. There's people watching you. That Mike Tomlin needs to be fired today. If I'd fire him today. You say, why? I'm going to tell you why. He just helped millions of people take the low road. But did y'all see that one? Y'all know how that one came out there and he stood? Y'all know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he fought for his country. He actually donned a pair of boots on. He actually went out there and put the fatigues on. He actually went out there and sacrificed his life so he could come back and play football. Probably most of them other boys, they were absolutely spoiled. They wasn't made to work. They didn't know what it meant to respect authority. They didn't know what it meant to have a grandpa, two grandpas that fought in the Pacific Theater and the other one fight in the European Theater, that they couldn't even go to sleep at night without having dreams, couldn't even go to a movie theater. My grandmother told me, Grandpa Leslie went one time, said, I'll never take him back to a movie theater. The whole time he was in there watching one of them old flicks, he said they got to shooting and the bombs started going. Said he started screaming and hollering and crying, ducking under the pews and running. She said we could never bring him back. He was years, 40 years after World War II, and he couldn't even speak about it without crying. And then some low road coach that people admire just chose to take a low road. And our children feed on that stuff. I expect it in the world, but I don't expect it here. I expect every Christian here. I expect everybody that sings in the choir. I expect everybody that runs a bus. I expect every Sunday school teacher. I'm going to tell you what I expect. I expect you to say, you know what? If it's going to offend somebody, I'm not going to be selfish. I won't eat the meat. Why? Because somebody weaker than you might get hurt because of it. Ain't nothing wrong with it, preacher. I know ain't nothing wrong with it. But what can we do better? What can we do better? Is that what Jesus has died for? For us to sit around and say, well, it's all right. We're just floating. No, is it? They're better. He said, I'll eat no meat. God, help us to get like Paul. Listen, church, we need to improve here. I hear it way too much. Well, it's okay. It's all right. It's no problem. It's okay. Well, it's at least they ain't doing this. No. Take the high road. Don't eat the meat. Robert, don't eat the meat. Let me just say something. If someone thought you eating hamburgers was, and you'd send somebody to hell because you ate a hamburger, would you stop eating hamburgers? I hope you would. Can I say to y'all right now tonight, and this is where the rubber meets the road. If anybody is offended here tonight that your pastor goes and hunts, and Robert, be quiet. You give me a biblical, nope, no, if it ain't even wrong. So, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. You going out and hunting and be excited about that. I want you to know it's making me weak. I'm going to tell y'all right now, God help me. I'll stop it today. Do I want to? No, but I will if it's going to cause somebody to fall. That's Bible. Oh, God, help us to be the... Now, listen, this is tough because I'm going to tell you something. Most Christians don't live here. Most Christians don't live here. I'm going to tell you where most Christians live. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's going to hurt somebody, offend somebody. Tell you what, I'm going to tell you what your pastor's going to tell you. Let's not eat the meat. Let's help each other. Let's not eat the meat together. Apostle Paul said, I'll eat no meat. I don't know about y'all. That's convicting. I'll eat no meat. Well, Pastor, there ain't nothing wrong with it. That's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But is it best? And by the way, I'm not doing that to be mean and harsh. I'm telling you. I want you to know you're going to use your life for good or for mediocre or for God or greatness. I'm going to tell you, it's your choice. You have the freedom to eat meat or not, but I'm going to ask you here in this church, if we want to improve, then we're all going to have this ideology about things. Well, Pat, there ain't nothing wrong with it. Let's quit trying to find out what's not right with it, and let's try to find out what's better for us to do. Maybe that means our talk. Maybe that means the way we talk. Maybe the way we act, maybe the way we handle ourselves. I don't know. I don't even have to go into a lot of detail there. You know what I'm talking about. And by the way, a lot of young people, this is where is the struggle. Well, ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Well, can we have a group of parents here that will wise up and open your eyes and quit thinking, you know, well, if I say that to them, they're going to get upset with me. Well, I'd rather them get upset with me and they not have to overcome that later when they become an adult. You teach them not to eat the meat. But maybe that ain't fair. Everybody else is doing it. Well, if they're all jumping off the bridge, should you do that too? Teach them, teach them, teach your children, teach your grandchildren. Don't eat the meat. Well, Pastor, ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm just honest. I'm going to tell you what, it's an excuse to fail. Takes the same decision, just a little bit more power, just a little bit more strength, just to say, you know what, it ain't really fair, but I'm not going to eat the meat. I'm going to help everybody here. Second thing about this, leaders. I expect every leader here to understand this principle. I'm going to teach everybody here something. When I got into ministry, I didn't know all about it. I really didn't. It didn't take me long to figure it out. If you're leading, here's what happens. You're very visible. Everything you do, whether right or wrong, is emphasized. If I was not the pastor of this church, I could probably come in here and sit down and some things would not be noticed. But because I am in leadership, I have learned through the years and I can argue, I can gripe, I can fuss. I can say it's not fair. I can say that that's not fair. If I hold a place of leadership, I want everyone here to know if you are a leader, you're not going to change it. People look up to you to lead by example. You're not going to change it. So you might as well either get out from underneath that title or get up underneath it and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my best by God's grace to lead by example. Because I can make it a lot easier for you. You won't have a bunch of people looking at you. You won't have a bunch of people shooting at you if you're a leader and you won't do your best to keep up, to say, you know what, I need, that might not be wrong, but am I doing it best? Because as a leader, you have to understand you should choose to do best. A Sunday school teacher should be the first one here. A Sunday school teacher should be the one praying longer than any of their other students. A choir member is a leader. A choir member, Brother Clay, they're leaders. They're the first thing that the church, that people come into this church. They might be on the weary road that day, and the choir comes up. And let's just say a choir member has a bad attitude. You tell me that it will not affect the church service. It'll affect it. You show me a children's church worker, a Wednesday night worker, a Sunday children's church worker. Listen to me. Those children look to you. The last thing we need to say to those children, well, that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. No, I'm going to tell you all right now. I don't want that church to be known for this. Here's what I want our teachers, very lovingly, but sometimes you got to get stern. You got to say, no, we're not going to eat the meat. They're not going to understand you. They might cry. But here's why you're going to hold you're going to stay the course. I'm going to tell you why you're going to stay the course. You're going to stay the course. Because see, I got to stay the course with Jeremiah. I got to stay the course with Lincoln. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as cute as little Lincoln is, as handsome as little Jeremiah is, and I know this is crazy as you think, Jeremiah, because I know probably, I don't know, you think girls are yucky? He's past that stage. Because here's how we got to stay the course. This is why I got to teach you. And you know, sometimes you hate the pastor keeps telling you, if I go and talk to the pastor, I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to say. Because here's why. I got to stay the course because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be somebody's husband one day. I know it's crazy. But more than likely, you're going to be somebody's daddy someday. And I hope to God, he can come back to this church. He can come back to maybe a godly person in this church. He can come back to a godly somebody that's on the, they didn't give ear to his excuses to help him fail. They says, no, Jeremy, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to like this, but honey, I love you, but you need to quit eating the meat. I know, honey, it's not wrong, but see, if you don't change some of those things that aren't wrong, what it will do, it will lead you to do wrong. Somebody say amen right there. It's their life. It's their life we're trifling with. It's not about getting mad at somebody and using somebody like a pawn and saying, all right, now if you don't, God's going to strike you dead. No, it's your life. We try to motivate people by every reason under the sun. Well, you better. God's going to strike you dead. No, listen to me. He might. But more important than that, he wants you to have an abundant life. Choose best. I expect every leader here to choose best. I have a carry permit. I don't have a pistol on me. Does everybody know what ammo is? You got to have ammo to shoot the gun. If I take my clip out of that gun and it has no ammo in it, that gun's not going to shoot anything. As a leader, and let me help every leader here, and by leader, I'm saying to you, if you're a deacon, your deacon's wife, you're a Sunday school teacher. You're a children's worker. You're a choir member. You're an usher. You're on the security team. You're a leader. I'm going to tell y'all right now and help y'all. You're not going to change it. So here's what I say for you to do. Take the ammunition from people to shoot at you. You say, Pastor, there's a lot of things you do that's not really wrong. Yes, I've chosen to do that because I know if I don't, I'm giving people ammunition to shoot at me. And I can get upset. And I can say, well, it ain't fair. And it ain't right. I don't know why they expect me to be at a meeting after church on Sunday night. I don't understand why I should be there. I want to tell you why. If you don't expect someone for you not to be there, then don't take the title. But I'm not asking you to stop the title. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Bear up under it. And say, you know what? I'm gonna choose best. I'm not going to take the low road. I'm going to choose best. You know why? Because there's lives at stake. I'm going to tell you something, church. I know I'm passionate about it because I'm going to tell you, we're in a mess today. And we don't think this is a big deal, but Paul dealt with it. He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to eat meat. Oh, God, help us. Help me. Help me. I need help there. Sometimes I get so frustrated. Brother Don said, it's not fair. It's not fair just because I'm a pastor. Can't I do this? Can't I do that? Can't I do this? No, look at me. No, I can't. Oh, poor pastor. He's got to live. No, listen to me. If it makes someone offend, someone stumble. I'm going to tell y'all what I'm going to ask y'all to help me to pray for. I'll eat no meat. And quickly as I close, determine to volunteer around here. There's so much work to be done. You know the days of, and if we call a work day, man, we always have a good, but you know, instead of calling work days, could we get a group of people just see some things that needs to be done around here and let's just do it? I was blessed and convicted this summer. We had one man in the church. He'd get mad at me if I mentioned his name, but you know, trees have blown down in the yards, and this grade pond over here looked about like a jungle. It looked like a safari all summer long. Looked horrible. And I'm going to be honest, I seen it, and I didn't think nothing about it, so woe is me. I didn't get a weed eater and go out there and clean it up. But I thank God for this man that seen it, went up there and spent a whole 2 days cleaning it up. We got some trees in the back needs trimmed, and you know, we can't trim them all because we've got to get a professional to do some. But I mean, you know, there are some retired people here that might could say, you know what, Pastor, I can do that. And you know what? You say, instead of hiring somebody to do it, it could save us money and we'll pay somebody else to do something we can't do. That'd improve our church. There's lights here. I know one day we asked a man, and the man said, hey, I'll come down. He changed every bad light bulb in this place. Thank God. Listen, those are the kind of things that improve a church. Volunteer. You say, well, Pastor, I ain't getting paid. Oh, yes, you are. Your benefits are out of this world. Those days of, you know, having them work days, man. And by the way, we'll do what we can. Because I'm going to say this. I don't want any daddy to take away from their family long periods of time. If a man's working 40 hours a week and he comes down here and works 30 hours, I'm wondering, well, where's he? How's he spending time with his family? But at the same time, I can remember in West Virginia, I'm not going to give their names because we're on internet. We might not put this one on there. I don't know. But I remember sitting around, and I can tell you their names. I can sit around. We talked, and here's what they said. Boy, and they talk like this, Brother Milford. Some of you older people know what I'm talking about. They say, boy, I'll tell you what, years ago on Saturday, he said, boy, I'll tell you, my whole family, we'd go down there to church. We'd work all day. I said, man, where's them days gone? Now, I know we can't do that all the time, and there are some things we have to pay to get done, but I just want y'all to know, I think our church could improve if there's things that some of us could just do, and then we could save money to do things we can't do. By the way, there's a whole lot of things coming up that we can't do. Y'all been downstairs? I'm just going to tell y'all right now, we might can buy the paint, we can do some paint, but I'll be honest, there's a whole lot of work needs to be done downstairs, and I'm just going to tell y'all straight up, it's going to take a lot of money. So, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what, we can all help each other out. We're going to invest in the money because the downstairs needs done, but maybe we got some men say, hey, Pastor, I'll tell you what, we can serve the Lord in this capacity. We can do this. We can't cut down them trees, but I tell you, we can do this. Hey, I'll tell you what, that'd be a blessing. Amen. Volunteer our labor for the Lord. I'm going to close with this. I've preached too long. I'm sorry for all of you visitors. It's getting hot in here. Our secretary gave this to me the other day. She said, Pastor, have you read what the CLA put out? I says, no, I haven't. She said, you need to read that. That's convicting. So I said, man, after reading it, she's right. It is convicting. So I thought I'd just let y'all get convicted with me. Y'all ready? Real quick, and we're going to close. Commitment or compliance. That's pretty powerful. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Matthew 22:37. The call to ministry can be given only by the Lord, and individuals who serve in various full-time ministry capacities should reflect godliness in each area of their lives. One of the important details to show is in the complete surrender of his calling. In every word and deed, we should embody the spirit of service as Christ would. In order to take that step of commitment, it is essential to understand the difference between commitment and compliance. Ministry service can be often plagued by workers who do not know the difference. Those who work in churches and other ministries specifically have the privilege to serve the Lord in each aspect of their lives. Serving others in Sunday school, bus ministry, and choir need to be provided to the church with the same vigor and the Lord requires in every other aspect of life. In various opportunities that the Lord allows service, we need to be committed to the purpose. Too often, compliance is the actual tone. Compliant individuals are enlisted in the process, but are not truly committed. They are engaged and they're following the leadership vision, but they lack the personal responsibility to accomplish what needs to be done over and above their stated goals. In other words, they go the first mile because it is required. But they usually do not go the second mile without some grudging remark. The Lord commands us to do all to His glory and to only go a second mile, but to do it without complaining. The committed servant not only fulfills the obligation, but believes in the vision so much that there is a sense of ownership. He becomes responsible for the task, not merely a player in it. The committed individual is all in, and that is how God calls each of us to be, all in. If a football team can be all in with a coach, genuine commitment is authentic and needs to be from the calling the Lord places on each individual. When serving others, a crucial factor that must be met is remembering who you are serving. In many cases, lack of enthusiasm is a symptom of forgetting and losing the vision of how the Lord is blessing. What a privilege each of us have to serve Him on a daily basis, the one who gave all for us. Individuals who are simply compliant may appear to be committed when looking at behavior. They can be very good workers. Compliant people are responsive and they're effective, but they do the minimum required. These are willing and able to do what is needed, but they are mostly 9-to-5 workers. In fact, some employees do not fully commit to the organization, but just comply. They do what is expected, but they do not want to gain new responsibility or grow. While some do the 9-to-5 compliance, other servants are committed and do what is needed with a sense of ownership and renewed dedication to their work. Unsaved people can be compliant or committed as well, but believers have a responsibility to always embody a commitment to the Lord's work from everything the Lord has done for us. It is our reasonable service to live for Him. We are not called to go along with the program. We are called to live a new life, fully dedicated to go over and above what is required of us. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A way to show love and care for others is to fully commit ourselves to His purpose. Do not be the compliant Christian who does what is asked and satisfies himself. Be the committed Christian who accomplishes his task and then ask, what else can I do to help further our purpose here? By the way, I'm not a company man. I used to work, and boy, they was a company people. You know, I didn't own the company. I expect people to own a company. They need to be a company man. I want to tell you something. I'm a company man. This ain't my company, but I'm all in. I believe in what we're doing here. The world says that they should be satisfied with the minimum because that's all they ask for. The believer should say, I finished what you asked. How else can you use me? The spirit of true commitment will transform your life and your ministry. Do not be minimally compliant. God commands us to be fully committed to His purpose. Are we? God help us. Let's not take low road around here. Let's help everybody take the high road. Lincoln, I'm interested in you taking the high road. Jeremiah, I'm interested in you taking the high road. And I will very kindly rebuke anyone here that teaches him any different. That not challenge him to do his best, not to do something everybody else can do. They need challenged. Don't eat the meat. Well, Pastor, ain't nothing wrong with it. You quit looking at things that ain't so much wrong and say, you know, Pastor, I can probably do better. You probably can. I'll be your cheerleader. I'll be y'all's cheerleader. I'll be your cheerleader. And then I ask, can we dedicate our time and volunteer more time for the Lord? There's always something to do with a heart of commitment.